As we continue in our time together, I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2. Our scripture reading is in the letter that Paul writes to the church at Philippi. I'll be reading just verses 12 to 13. It's on the screen behind me, or please follow along in your Bibles. At the beginning of chapter 2, Paul writes about the example that Jesus sets for us when it comes to humility and obedience to God. And just after he writes about Jesus, our ultimate example in all things, he then writes these words to believers about their life now following Christ. And so keep that in mind, because then he says in verses 12 to 13, our passage today, therefore, my dear friends, so the therefore was pointing back to Paul talking about Jesus, our example. Obey him, be like him in all ways. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In chapter 2 of Paul's letter to the Philippians, Paul is instructing believers. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to believers on how to live their lives in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And so his desire for them is to have unity, being of the same mind, same love, and same attitude of Christ Jesus, whom he had just wrote about in terms of how Jesus is our perfect model. And sometimes it just takes a model, an example, to motivate us further in our walk with the Lord. And because of what Jesus has done for us in living a self-sacrificing life by putting our interests ahead of his own, we are, as followers of Christ, to continue to obey him, continuing faithfully to submit to God's will for our lives, just as we see our Lord Jesus Christ doing. And so the instruction we learn from Paul to believers is to work out their salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who works in them, in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And so this morning in chapter 2 of Philippians, I want us to focus on those words, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does it mean to work out your own salvation? It means, fellow Christians here today, those who call themselves Christians, we have a responsibility from the time that we are saved to the time that we're in glory, regarding our personal salvation. But first, we need to tread carefully here, because what this verse is not about is the nature of salvation, how we are saved. The Bible teaches in Ephesians 2 that we are not saved by works. We are not saved by doing good. We are saved by God's grace through faith. Ephesians 2 says, 8 to 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And so of all the incredible truths that we have in the Bible, this is one of them. Salvation is a free gift, and it is offered to all. Now, are all receiving this? No, not everyone does. But salvation is a free gift offered to all. It is freely given, and all we have to do is freely receive. And like any gift we receive, we unwrap the gift and we use that gift. So keep that in mind when you consider working out your own personal salvation. Because again, Paul is writing to believers. They're saved already. And Paul wants to encourage them now with the salvation that you have received freely. Now continue to put it into action. You are being saved by the grace and power of God every day. Again, the Bible teaches very clearly we are saved by grace through faith. But here's the thing, if you are really saved, that was just to wake you up, I guess. if you are really saved, you will work out your salvation. You are working out your salvation, as Paul says here. You have been saved and have been since the moment you asked Jesus to save you. And what a day that was. And in a very real way, you are also being saved as you grow spiritually and work out the implications of your personal salvation that was given to you in Jesus Christ. Now, in Christian theology, this points us to the term sanctification. And that is the process of gradually growing spiritually, becoming more and more like Christ by the Spirit's power, learning to serve the Lord. And if you have really been saved by grace through faith, then you will then work out your salvation in a number of ways. And we're going to get to that later on. To me, when it comes to working out your salvation, the one thought I had in mind, or the example or illustration, is signing up your kids for a sports team. And that happens a lot. And that happens a lot in Campbellford. There are lots of opportunities for parents to sign up their kids for sports, whether it's minor league hockey or soccer, baseball. And I know that there are a lot of little league teams around here. Parents take their kids in, usually in the spring or whatever time of the year, and they sign up their kids for a team. And so they take them in, or they do it online, they sign them up, and now they're on a team. Time to celebrate, right? Yes, I'm on a team. I'm on the soccer team. I'm on the hockey team. And it's okay to celebrate making the team, but guess what? That's not the end of it, is it? It's just the beginning. Now it's time to do what? Work out. Work out. Get ready. Be prepared. And now players, whatever the sport, have to go to the daily workouts. They have to go to the practices before the games. They have to practice the fundamental skills in order to get better at that sport. You have to get your body into shape. You have to exercise. You have to eat well. You have to sleep well. You have to go to team meetings. You have to learn the strategy that your coach has in place on how to win, how to be a better team. Now it's time for you to do what? To do what you just signed up for, to play for that sport. So I hope that illustration helps you to understand more practically and simply what it means to work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. As Christians, we need to realize that it is the same with the Christian life. Asking Jesus to save you, coming to salvation, is an incredible moment. The most important decision that you can make your entire life, because your eternal destiny is at stake in that decision. Will you accept, or are you rejecting this gift of salvation freely given? Have you freely received it? And so Jesus, who has come to rescue us and save us, we need to be asking, as we are saved by grace through faith, it is something to celebrate, but it's not the end of it. It's just the beginning of your salvation life. Now, what do you have to do spiritually? Take a sports team, any sports team, and now think about what that means now to your life. You have to go as a believer to your daily workouts. What could that mean spiritually in your Christian faith? Your daily worship time in God's presence. Going away to pray in the wilderness. Seeking the Lord in prayer. Meditating on His word. Also, now you have to go to your team meetings. This is an example. Coming together with the body of Christ. Connecting with other believers through the week. That's your team. You need those team members in your life to help you be a better Christian every day. We cannot give up on that. Now it's also time to get in shape spiritually. And you can do that by getting some of those sins out of your life. Let no sin entangle you. Cut it off that have been hindering your spiritual growth. Now you've actually got to get out and do also the ministry that God has called you to be a part of. How are you serving the Lord right now in this church or the church that you belong to in your community? So you can see the implications practically of what it means to just work out your salvation with fear and trembling in this way. So now it is time to do that. And if you have been really saved, you will work it out. You are working it out. Because those who are not saved by works will show that they really are saved by their works. That's the demonstration that you don't belong to this kingdom anymore. You belong to the kingdom of the Son of Jesus Christ, where He reigns. There is no greater moment, really, than to lead someone to Christ. It is encouraging to see people decide to follow Jesus for the first time and enter the waters of baptism. Be part of a church family and serve. When someone repents of their sins and accepts Jesus as their Savior, boy, it is a time of rejoicing and celebration. See, the truth is, and what this passage is just pointing out clearly to us today, is that when that happens, and if what happened in their lives is real, these new believers will not just stop the Christian life at their baptism or conversion decision, but they will now continue to work out their salvation, like Paul says here. And they will demonstrate it in the days and in the months and in the years ahead that they really are saved by the way they continue to follow Jesus and work out their salvation. Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 46, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who" what? Who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And this doesn't just apply to those who've recently been saved and baptized either. This applies to all of us. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you should be demonstrating then the reality of your commitment by working out your salvation. Again, as some items I mentioned earlier, you should be coming to practice here at church regularly. Should be working out every day in God's word and prayer and worship and in small group ministry and in serving in our community and in evangelism. You should be getting in shape spiritually by getting sins out of your life. And you should be playing your position. You should be doing the ministry God has given to you. What are your gifts? What are your passions? And where does God want to serve you today and moving forward in his church? Are you working out your salvation? It's not just a matter of signing up for the team, is it? If you've really signed up for the team, you will show up by what you do afterwards. And you can be confident that you have been saved if you are working out your salvation. Again, you are not saved, and as I mentioned earlier, you are not saved by your works, but if you are really saved, you will work out your salvation, like Paul says here. Your decision to repent of your sins, asking God for forgiveness, receiving the free gift of salvation in Christ by faith, again, it is not the end point, but the beginning point. And once we receive salvation, then it's necessary to work it out in its practical, everyday implications. I love the truth, the many truths that we find in Scripture, the one where we know that God is with us every day. And he has given us his Holy Spirit to empower us to put into practice the Word of God. And it's not work for, is it? It's not work up, and it's not work in. It is work out. So what you've received on the inside, unwrap that and work it out in the world around you. And this truly is about how we mature in Christ. This is how we mature in Christ. This working out is the believer's growth in his or her application of God's will in their lives. It's about letting what's inside out. Now, will distractions come our way? Absolutely. Are you just working so hard to make a living that you just can't be bothered to practice your Christian faith? I've heard it before. Maybe you have too. But you come to that point where you know that there's something in you that you have to give. God has given it to you to give. Now give it. Now work it out. Again, letting what's inside out. And all through Scripture, we learn about how important faith is and work that comes out of our faith. Listen to James chapter 2, verses 14. He says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him?" And later on, James says, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." But what I do. How many times have you heard or have said to somebody, "Actions speak louder than words"? We're familiar with that statement, are we? Probably too many times to count we've heard that. Actions speak louder than words. We're all familiar with it. We're also familiar with James later says, don't just be a hearer of the word, but a doer. You're hearing now. Praise the Lord. God brought you to church this morning. God's revealing something new to you. And it's different for all of us because of where we're at spiritually. But you're hearing the word of God. It's increasing your faith. I am believing on that for you. But then after this service, this time of worship, as a new week begins, how will you now do the word of God? Faith without works is dead. James continues this theme throughout this book to remind us that we just can't talk like Christians. We must live like it. We must act like Christians as well. So the world will see that there is a God who gives us hope, a God who can change lives, a God who's changed our lives, and we want people to know that hope as well. Those truly saved by God want to please and obey God in all aspects of their life. Those truly saved desire to live a holy life, and they struggle against sin, fighting the good fight of faith and seeking to live a life that pleases the Lord truly is genuine evidence of genuine salvation. Since God looks on the heart, we need to learn how to please Him each day with our thoughts as well as with our words and deeds. And I don't know about you, I'm so thankful we serve a God who is gracious and is forgiving. And He's a God who gives us fresh starts and new beginnings. Yes, we fall each and every day throughout the week. But come back to the Lord. Confess your sins. Know that He will forgive you, and He will continue to empower you each and every day to live for Jesus. Now, in verse 12 of our passage, Paul instructs believers to work out our salvation with two words, fear and trembling. Will you just think with me about those two words, starting with fear? What does this mean to work out your salvation with fear and with trembling, Paul teaches on? First of all, this does not mean that we are to live our lives in panic or in anxiety and to cower in fear about what we're supposed to do as believers in this world. Instead, we are to live out our lives with awe and reverence for God, coming to behold Him, our great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Working out your salvation with fear and trembling means to live with an intense desire to do what is right because our God is holy. And He is just. Oh, yes, He is loving. And He is forgiving. We hear a lot of that. But He is also holy and just. And a God who will discipline His children when they sin. Having received salvation as a gift, we must passionately live worthy of it. John MacArthur wrote, "It acknowledges that every sin is an offense against holy God and produces a sincere desire not to offend and grieve Him, but to obey, honor, please, and glorify Him in all things." God, who sent His Son Jesus to redeem us from sin, calls us to surrender to Him and to actively work out your salvation, my salvation, with reverence and awe. It's about, again, letting what's inside of you out. It's about the knowledge God saved us from our sin. Will you let that knowledge out? Now let's focus on what Paul means by fear. Work out your salvation with fear. And the Greek word for fear here is phobios, which we get the word phobias from which we get things that we're afraid of. Is anyone here afraid of spiders? Yeah, yeah, or Judy, absolutely. Anyone afraid of snakes? Yeah, we got a yep over here. You know, there are things that we each kind of have we're afraid of. They make us squirm. We don't want to be near that. For me, there's a certain ride at Canada's Wonderland. They strap you in, they shoot you up, and they swing you around. I do not want that ever again in my life. Maybe you do. Maybe you would love that. It's my phobos. But what this word means in this passage, it doesn't mean the things that we are afraid of that cause us to squirm. It's in fact something completely different. When it says phobos, in the context of this passage, it means godly awe. It means going to the edge of the Grand Canyon and you stare there, and I've never been, maybe you have, and you're like, wow, just look at what God has created. Awesome. You know the feeling. It's awe. You feel so little. Perhaps it's a different experience, like standing on the ocean shore and watching waves come crashing in, and it kind of shakes the sand where you are standing. It's a healthy fear. It's a good thing. It's awe. It's wonder at who our God is. So that is where fear is taking you, working out your salvation with this awe and wonder of our awesome God. Now, do you want to see what awe looks like? Here's a picture. Does that look like being afraid? It's a picture of a baby in awe. Who knows? Daddy's just come home. Or whatever. Mommy's there to help. But it's awe. Look at the face of this child. This is awe. God, you are awesome in power. You are so good to me every day. I'm going to live my life for you because there is no one like you. There is no equal. That's awe. Work out your salvation with awe and wonder. Boy, what a difference it makes when you have such a big view of God in your life when it comes to working out your salvation, living for Jesus, serving Him. Now, what does Paul mean by working out your salvation with trembling? Trembling. What does trembling mean? The Greek word is tromos. It means to quake or to shudder. It means to shudder over the fact that there is a day coming when Jesus is coming back. There is a day coming where we're all going to have to stand before our great and holy judge. And our lives will be before Him, and He will judge us by what we did with the knowledge that we had of who God is and what He's called us to do in the time that we're here, the short time that we are here. When we are going to stand before Almighty God, and really only the believer can handle this. And that's the application to the believer. Awe and wonder, reverence, our God who causes us to feel so small, but He is there holding our lives in His hands because He is so gracious and kind and powerful and wise. And so as you think about these words that Paul is encouraging us to do, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, you get to that point where you're like, well, what does that look like? What does that mean? So here's just a few things that I believe the Lord just placed in my heart to share with you. And there's probably more that you could think of. So what might working out your salvation look like moving forward today? Remove burdens. Remove the excess weight. Whatever, however you want to receive this. Keep with the exercise sporting theme. Paul tells us in Hebrews 12 verse 1 that we are to strip off, remove everything that hinders us from running the race of life. God wants you to strip off all things that are getting in the way right now of you becoming whole according to God's holiness, God's perfect plan for your life. And this is, yes, part of your sanctification process and mine, removing burdens. Perhaps you don't know what that is. Will you pray today? God, show me right now in my life what I need to get out of, who I need to stay away from, what I need to remove in my life because it's hindering me from growing deeper with the Lord. Perhaps you haven't been hearing the voice of God the way you want to. It hasn't been clear. You feel distant. Well, what's going on in your life that doesn't please the Lord? Perhaps you are grieving the Lord now because of resentment or unforgiveness. We're getting to that in a second. Or just sinful habits you're not dealing with. Remove the burdens. How about, second of all, renew your mind? Renew your mind. Again, Paul encourages us in Romans 12, verse 2, renew your mind because it's through the renewing of your mind that you can be transformed. You know, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. It just leads to destruction and division and despair. Renew your mind by spending time in God's word every day. God is always working on us. There's no doubt about that. God is working on you right now, helping you to become more like Christ. And renewing your mind with the truths of Scripture is key to this, to your spiritual formation. Thirdly, know your true identity in Christ. What does it look like working out your salvation, removing the burdens, renewing your mind, knowing who you are in Christ? If you have accepted Christ into your heart, the Bible says that you are a child of God, a daughter of the King, a son of the living God. You are His masterpiece. He knows how many hairs are on your head, and He loves you with an unfailing, perfect love. He doesn't hold over you the things that you've done in the past that you wish you never had done. He looks at you and he sees the righteousness of Christ and he gives you a new beginning. Will you follow him? There are many prodigals in this room today who can attest to the grace of God, bringing them back. And now they are deeper with Christ than they ever have before because they know who they are in Christ. And lastly, forgive others and yourself. Forgive others and yourself. Another key biblical principle, working out your salvation, is to forgive others and yourself. It's very personal, isn't it? When you ask and you wonder, have I built up resentment towards somebody over these years? Have I built up bitterness over a past relationship conflict? Are you today here still harboring some unforgiveness toward yourself because of something you did in your past? You see, unforgiveness will not allow you to be free to experience the abundant life you have already in Christ. It has to be dealt with. It has to be addressed. You need to identify it, and you need to deal with it. And there are people even in this room that are here to help you deal with it. If it's just prayer, if it's just listening. But that's an important point here when it comes to working out your salvation. Do you need to forgive yourself? Do you need to forgive someone in your life? These are just a few truths of Scripture in the form of what? Spiritual exercises that we are to daily practice and exercise. That are important aspect of working out your salvation. I encourage you today to be persistent with this lifelong process, working out your salvation. It is God's work in you already. All you have to do is surrender to his transforming presence and allow him to work through you and cooperate with the Holy Spirit in helping you deal with the things that need to be dealt with in your life, but growing in your spiritual life. Spiritual growth, yours and mine, in the form of these spiritual exercises. And again, it's not automatic. You're not just going to wake up every morning and just get on it and can't wait to just keep being more like Christ. It's a hard work, but we're not alone. That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit, and he gave us the church, and he gave us his word. And it comes as we, again, work and invite the Holy Spirit to keep working deeper in our lives. It comes as we discipline ourselves each day to be more like Christ. The word discipline is key. God is looking for people who are this very day willing to break up the hard ground in their daily lives so that they can grow his spiritual fruit within them. Continual growth, continual walking with the Lord in the Christian life keeps us from being ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of the Lord. And that's why we are called to press on. Press on, Paul says in Philippians 3, toward the goal, to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Yes, thanks be to God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit for his work and what he is doing in our lives to make us more like Christ. Will you join me now as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for saving us. Wow, God, we are not worthy. But Lord, we thank you that you are calling us to follow Jesus each and every day. And as believers here, we thank you, God, for your grace, your forgiveness, and helping us each and every day in this life to be more like Christ. Help us, Lord, to be willing. Lord, help us, we pray, to be open to being led by you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a desire to grow. And we want to grow, Lord. We want to grow in our faith. By your Spirit, we want to become mature Christians. And we pray that you will grow your heavenly fruit in us so that we will each day reflect your Son, Jesus, to a very needy and dark world. And God, my prayer for those who are not saved here today, that they will know how much God loves them. And that, God, you are holy. And because you are holy, we need to deal with the sin in our lives. So God, we pray for the salvation of all of our friends and family that do not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. We pray that you would bring them to a place of repentance where they turn to you for the forgiveness of their sins and that they will experience the new life that we have in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you again, Lord, for the work that you're doing. And Lord, we want to bless the work that you are doing in all the people sitting next to us throughout this congregation. Bless the work, Holy Spirit. Continue to work deeper. Lord, work deeper in our lives, because we know, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. And our greatest need each and every day is of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.